2026, the year of growth.
We learn from the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 and Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 that it is in the heart and mind of God for every person who believes and obeys to multiply and become more. Therefore, get ready for 2026, the year of growth, where in every season there must be fruit, according to Revelation chapter 22 verse 2. The first place we need to grow is in our spiritual life. Spiritual growth is the function of obedience to the Spirit of God. This means the Holy Spirit is the only means of growth in our Christian life. The way of obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit is a way of blessings indeed. How can we grow if we don't know His ways? The University of the Holy Spirit is the high school of learning whereby spiritual truths are discerned and imbibed. It is time to learn the ways of the Spirit and be fully prepared for the blessings to come. Are you ready? The best is yet to come, indeed.
2026, the year of growth.
Time for the Word of God to share the Word of God. God does nothing without His Word. We believe that by the Word of God, the heavens and earth were formed and framed, as the book of Hebrews said, as the Bible teaches us in the book of Genesis chapter 1. God does nothing without His Word. I don't know whatever circumstance or situation you may be facing, but God's Word is spirit and life, means it always points to the root of our troubles. It always points to life. Whatever you are facing today, there is an answer, there is a way out. That's what Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. That's what He said. And He said in John chapter 8 verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, will have the light of life. Hallelujah. For today's message, I want you to understand something. When God is looking at you, the question is, what is God looking at? What is the focus of God when He looks at a human being He created to His image and likeness? When we understand that humankind, human being, is the greatest product of God, of the Holy Spirit, we are the one that the Scripture says God created to His image and to His likeness. Before God created man, when you look at the Bible very well, God created the environment conducive for human life. Provision for food, for sustenance of life, for the air we breathe, for the atmosphere, and everything God created. And after He created man to His image and likeness and surrendered everything to the dominion and control of man. The scriptures say God brought all the animals of the earth to Adam and He gave them name. Then God gave assignment to man to tend the Garden of Eden. God bless man and say, go multiply and be fruitful. You can see God's mind for us is eternal life, blessings of God and fruitfulness, and enjoy a life that is fulfilling. God has given us so much to human being. But in the midst of this gift, God gave us one which can be very dangerous, discretion. God gave you the choice. He never created man to be a robot. He gave man discretion. Mean capacity to distinguish between right and wrong, what is relevant or not, what is good and bad, to choose between life and death. That is just God for you. God gave us discretion, capacity to choose what is right and what is wrong. He told Adam, by the scriptures, there were a tree of eternal life in the midst of the garden. There was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. But God warned man to one tree, because it led to death. When you read the scriptures, anything that can be harmful, anything that can lead to death and destruction, God always warns human beings and forbid them, don't do this. It leads to death. That was His will. To warn us, to guide us and show us the right way to follow and give us discretion to choose. He never forced Adam. Adam chose the wrong tree. And we saw what happened according to the scriptures. leave God's way and choose his own way. So now the question is, God, when he looks at human being, when God looks at you, what is he looking at? What was the purpose for which God created human being? For the glory of God we are created. We have been embedded with such blessings from heaven to fellowship with God, to walk with God, to talk with God, to plant with God. That's what Adam did at the garden. God entrusted everything into the care of man and gave him dominion. He named the animals to rule the earth, to subdue it, and to bless it. That's what God said in the position of leadership. But we know what happened there. So the mind of God, when he looked at you, God wants you to be a producer, not a consumer. Today we have in the economy, we all know this principle of economy. Eh? We have offer and demand. We have the companies that offer products and services in the market. And we have people that buy those products in the market. So the principle of economy is there is a meeting point of the offer and the demand to fix the price. We know the basic rules of economy. I'm not going to talk about economy today. But we go to the market because we need something, to buy something to sustain our lives. Now, when you go to the market to buy something, you want to be sure that you are buying the right product. You are buying something that is good, something that is valuable, worth the price you are paying for. You don't want something that will bring bad. You want something that is good for you. That's what we do when we meet at the market every single day of our lives. Now, when God is looking at the man he created, God does not want man to be a mere consumer, but to be a producer. What's the difference between a consumer and a producer? When Jesus came on earth, Jesus came to propose one product that was unique. He came from heaven, entered this earth, which we call a market, to sell a product. That product was unique. What was the name of the product of Jesus? Eternal life. Eternal life. He came to give life. He came to restore the relationship and fellowship between God and man and bring man to the position of dominion, leadership, awareness, for man to be complete in himself. What I mean by complete? To be a producer is to know the source of life. The person that builds a car or builds a house knows what it takes to build a house. Then he knows how to maintain it. When you buy a product or a computer, whatever in the market, you must follow the instruction of the manufacturer on how to use it, the condition to use that product properly. There's an instruction manual. When you buy a car, everybody has different tastes and purposes of buying a car. Some buy a car, family car, because of need of transportation. Some buy a car because of pleasure. There are different means. So you go to the market and take the right car you want. We call it a position between a car and a market. And then you agree with the price and you buy your product. Once you buy the product, you don't want to be disappointed. Packaging is deceptive, but you want to know what is true, what is fake, what is real. So I want to make sure I'm buying the right thing. I'm buying the right product, and I will never be disappointed. Will retain its value because I'm happy. But very often, we just see the beautiful side, and at the end of the day, people regret. The car you loved so much, you don't want it anymore. The house you want, you don't want anymore, you want something more. You keep on buying. But if you know what it takes to be a producer, you will know how to maintain it. When Jesus came, he met some people at the market side. He met Peter, who was a fisherman, who was catching fish and selling fish. But that day, Peter was going through a difficult situation, failure. He couldn't catch any fish. Jesus came by the seaside and said to him, "Launch your net on the right." Peter looked at him and said, "Master, we have toiled hard." When you look at Luke chapter 5, you will see first that Jesus came first at the seaside. Before he instructed Peter to launch the net for the catch, Jesus used the boat of Peter in Luke chapter 5. He chose the boat of Peter to sit down on the boat and ask him to pull away from the shore. So Jesus sat on the boat of Peter and began to preach and teach the people sitting on the shore. When Jesus finished preaching, he told Peter, "Go to the deep and let down your net for the catch." Jesus was teaching something to Peter, how to be a producer of life. Jesus just sent a word to him, "Cast your net." That's all Jesus gave him. Peter said, "Ah, Lord, we have toiled hard all through the night. We couldn't catch nothing. There's no fish here. I'm a fisherman. I'm an experienced fisherman. I've been here for so many years. I know this lake very well, but there's no fish. But nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." Peter obeyed the instruction of Jesus and let down the net and got a miraculous catch of fish. When he saw that, he was astonished. He said, "Far away from me, Lord, I am a sinner." Conviction of sin came immediately because of this man is a godly person. This is a miracle. And Jesus said to him, "Today, follow me, I will make you fishers of men." God said to him, "Today, I will make you a producer. Through you, people will be saved. Through you, people will get into their divine destiny. Through you, people will be blessed." That's what Jesus said to him. Peter immediately let everything and followed Jesus instantly because he has seen the product of Jesus' word. Just a word he spoke and a miracle took place. That's the seed of every miracle, the word of God. If you want to be a producer, there's a raw material they use. That's the word of God. God wants to make you a producer. That's why he said, "I don't want to give you a cup of water. I want to give you rivers of living waters." That's why Jesus said to you in John chapter 6, 35, "He who comes to me will never hunger again and will never thirst." That's what he said. I want to make you a producer. When you have a well, it is different from having a cup of water. Being filled is different from having a river. Jesus said, "Rivers of living water will flow from your spirit into eternal life." Jesus promised to make them a producer, and that promise came to pass. When Jesus went to the cross, he died for us, resurrected, but before he departed, he told them, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from above. Then you'll be my witnesses." On the day the Spirit of God came upon them at Pentecost, according to the scriptures we all believe, they became producers, no longer consumers. They'll be able to produce life. They were able to speak, to plant the seed of the word of God in the hearts of people, and the kingdom began to grow. Acts chapter 6, verse 2, verse 4, verse 7, 8. They said the word of God grew. People were saved. People came to faith. And the gospel began to spread to all the corners of the earth. They became a producer by planting the seed of God in their life. They became builders to build the kingdom of God every single day. And through the testimony of the apostles of old, millions of people today have been saved. To this very moment we speak. Now, God has a promise for you. He wants you to make you a producer. Do you know what it takes to be a producer? Let me take a simple example. Do you know everybody has a car and we love cars so much? Do you maintain your car? The most difficult is not to buy a car, it's to maintain it. The most difficult is to maintain your car. The cost of maintenance is even far more than the cost of buying a car. So I want to show a little clip to introduce us to what we are going to talk about today. What is the seal of God that this is the right product? What is the seal that shows that you are a producer? If you are a producer, you must have a seal. If you are a producer, you have a make that bear your name. Let us watch the clip. Are you a producer? That's my question to you. If you are a believer in Christ, you are a producer. Because the promise of God for you is to make you a producer, not a consumer. Mean you will learn to live a life of investment, not a life of expenditure. You will lack nothing and want nothing. You become a channel of blessing to others. You have seen the clip today. We use a car, we know the value of a car. But do you know what it takes to build that car? The car was not just brought to the market like that. We have engineers, people that design the car. Once they design, is an idea, is a plan. They have to bring the plan to reality before they bring it to the machine or to the robot to build the car. It goes through a processing. If you are a producer, you must follow the processing. From the plan to the market, you have to go through a processing. God does the same for you. Peter never woke up and began to be an apostle in one day. Jesus called them. And Jesus led them through the process. They follow him. They listened to his word. Jesus planted the seed of the word and they saw the mightiness of Jesus. His compassion, his mercy. How Jesus responded to the needs of human beings. How Jesus answered all the fundamental issues of people's life. They saw Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. When Jesus started his ministry, the first thing he said, seek first the kingdom of God. He said clearly in Matthew 4, 17, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. A call to repentance is a call to change our way and to follow God's way, his way of doing things. He came to introduce a new way of fellowship, a new way. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Follow the narrow way. What is the narrow way? The way of a producer is a narrow way. When you look at the scale of economy, the companies, the producers are few compared to the consumers are numerous, the demand are numerous, but the producers are very few. But if you follow the way of Christ, he wants you to become a producer. When he called Peter, follow me. Peter dropped the net and followed Jesus and became a producer of life. He met Matthew, a tax collector. Follow me. Immediately, he looked at Jesus. He saw something that nobody saw. I always ask myself, why these people that had job, that have a life, have family, will meet somebody they never knew before? The man said, come and follow me. They drop everything and followed him. Because God has opened their heart, their eyes to see the seal of this man. If a company that is renowned, we know his product, we know his seal, this is the logo of this company. Say, hey, I want to work there. I know this company. God opened their eyes to see the seal that this man has something precious. And that something precious had not from this earth, it was from heaven. They saw the seal in Christ. What is the seal we are talking about that God wants to use to make you a producer? I will take you to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, verse 12. I will start fast by Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reading from the NIV. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessings in Christ. Take note of this. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with the pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the love he beloved. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Now I go to verse 11. In him, in Jesus Christ, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Plan, purpose and will of God, the heart and the mind of God for you, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Now, listen to verse 13, which is a proof text of this message. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. I read again. Verse 13. You were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed what you heard, you were marked in Christ with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. A deposit guaranteeing. The seal that guarantees the quality of the product. That's our message today. The seal. The seal of God guarantees the quality. Every company has a logo. When you see the seal, you identify the manufacturer and you identify the quality, the standard of that company. Every company in industry, we have norms, ISO, International Standard Organization. We have a standard on how to build things, how to engineer it, to respect the norms and qualities of standard that benefits everybody. In every country, we have regulations to check the standard, to make sure what is offered to the market is good for people. We don't harm people. We bring something good. Regulatory offices are there to check the standard, the quality of the product. We talk about the car. I'm going to go back to the car because we are talking about being a producer. We choose a car simply as an example to tell you the processing of quality that leads to a car to be in the market for people to buy it and to be blessed. God has a product. He wants somebody who can bring that product to others. Now let's take the step. What does it take for you to be a producer? You must have your seal. You must have your own make because you produce it. You're not buying somebody product to sell in the market, your own. But who knows you? Who knows the quality of your product? That's the question. Jesus came with the product, and we know the seal of Christ. He said, when he entered the synagogue the first day, he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to bless, oh my Lord, the poor, to open the eyes of the blind, to heal the sick, to deliver the captive, and to give eternal life to all who believes." Jesus said, "I am the promised Messiah. The seal of God is with me." John chapter 6, verse 27. Immediately he spoke. People begin to see something completely different. In John 7, verse 46, they say, "No one has ever spoken like this man." When Jesus began to speak, we see changes beginning in the lives of people. When he spoke, we saw the blind began to recover their sight. The sick got healed. The possessed get free. Those who go looking for the meaning of life had discovered a new meaning of life. Peace came. Joy came. Eternal life came. And the promise of the Spirit of God came on earth. Something new they have never seen in their lives. Nicodemus came and said to him, "No one can do the works you do if God is not with him." Jesus looked at him and said to him, "Unless a man is born again, he cannot enter, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What is to be born again? There is a promise of God to make you a citizen of heaven. There is a promise of God to make you a child of God, to make you a producer of life. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. That's what Jesus said. He came to give eternal life and to give you something you will never lack, to give you rivers of living waters. He said, "He who is thirsty, come to me," instead of taking water consumer. "Come to me and rivers of living water will flow from your spirit to everlasting life." John chapter 4, verse 10, he said to the Samaritan woman, who was like a consumer coming to fetch water every day, Jesus said, "Whoever drinks this water will thirst again." That's consumer. "But he who drinks the water I give him will never thirst again." He became a producer. The woman said, Give me that water so I will not come and fetch here. Give me the water so I stop being a consumer. So I have my own water. I have my own river. That's a Jesus for you. He wants to take us to a place of significance in our lives, to take you to a place of eternal life, life in abundance to the full. You will lack nothing and want nothing. That was his product, eternal life. What is the seed that guaranteed that eternal life? Holy Spirit. The promise he gave to everybody who believes. You'll be born from on high, and God will mark you with the seal of the Holy Ghost to show the righteousness of God in you. When you have the Holy Spirit, when you are born again, God, the producer of life, lives in you. Jesus lives in you. Holy Ghost lives in you. And the Bible says you will lack nothing. You will want nothing. You will live a contented life. God, the producer of life, dwells in you. And then rivers of living water will flow from your spirit. What does this mean? Rivers of love, rivers of peace, rivers of joy, rivers of life will flow from your spirit to benefit humankind, to benefit others. When Peter began to speak, he went to the house of Cornelius. What happened? The Spirit of God came upon all who heard, and they were saved and became producers. Oh, my Lord. Acts chapter 6, verse 2. The ministry of the word of life, the word began to expand. Thousands of people received salvation the day Peter spoke. And the word of God grew. Their life was centered on the word of God in prayer. You want to be a producer? What does it take? That's the word of God. That's the parable of the sower. When the word of God enters your heart, when you are built on the word of God, the Bible says, with the righteousness of God, you become a producer of life. You will receive something in turn that will benefit other people's life. You will have something when you speak it, people's life will change. You will have something in turn. When you see people are sick, you pray for them, God will touch them. People are hopeless, we have hope. People are lost, we see eternal life, receive salvation. That is the promise of Jesus for you. So why do we limit God in our lives? Anytime we come to ask God, heal me, do this, we are behaving like consumers. That's why Jesus said, seek first my kingdom and his righteousness. Don't care about what to eat, what to wear. That's a consumer. Seek my kingdom and his righteousness. I will make you a producer of life. That is the promise of Jesus for you. If you believe, seek first the kingdom of God and every other thing shall be added unto you. Today, what do we believe God for? Is it possible for you to become a producer? Yes, it is possible. That is the promise. Anytime we come to God, just because of healing, just because of money, just because of blessing, we are only caring about the fruit. We become consumers. But God wants to make you a tree of life, to become producers giving life to others. Your perspective of approach to God must change. The purpose of this gospel is eternal life, the kingdom of heaven. When you say, I'm a citizen of a country, there's a register every country that registers those who are born in that country, the real citizen. They will go to the register. They will give you a certificate of birth, a certificate of nationality to receive the passport of the country. That's so, yes, I'm this country. What are the credentials for the kingdom of God? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is the seal of the kingdom of God? What makes you a citizen of heaven? What guarantees the future eternal life? The seal of God is the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Ghost, you too will become a producer. Because the one who overcomes dwells in you. The one who produces the rivers of life dwells in you. The one who speaks words of life and people are changed dwells in you. The one who can change people's life dwells in you. The one who can help come with you. That's the Spirit of God. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what the Bible is all about. Words of life. Words of faith. The narrow way that gives life. Which life? We have ordinary life. We have spiritual life. Eternal life. Everything about God is eternal. Everything about God is beyond the grave. So the product of God is relationship forever. Eternal life in the kingdom of God, citizen of heaven. That's what Jesus said to everybody. Now, let me go back to the picture and explain the processing of God. What does it take to be a producer? When we look at this car, this is a design. Engineers with a computer design a vehicle, you can see. God has designed human beings to plan with God. We start with the plan. Where is the plan? The architect who designed this? God. You human beings, you are more than this car. God has designed you and I to have a spirit, to have a soul, and to have a body. People see the body. You see the car. But what is inside the car? What about the engine? What about that makes the car what it is? That's the design of God. So you can see the visible part and the invisible part come together to make the product perfect. You have to know how God designed you. This section, this part, nobody sees it. This part is what God designed you in the spirit to be. That is his plan for you, his purpose for you, his calling for you. It designed you to be this in your mother's womb. That is his plan and project. Now, if you don't know what you are destined to be, the plan of God, how will you know? How will you walk to be a producer of life? We need to know what God said about you, what he designed you for, what he made you for. Then you can see after you design and everything is perfect in the eyes of the engineers and the company say, yes, this is a good product. What they will do? Now they take it to the line of fabrication and start building the vehicle. We can see the robot begin to build the vehicle. It is sealed of righteousness, the Holy Spirit. It does not happen in a second. It is built on the processing of God. And the material God used to build this is the word of God. To make and to make. He said to Jeremiah, I put my words in your lips. Jeremiah 1:9. To uproot, to tear down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build and to plant a seed of the kingdom of God and to build the character of God. To plant the seed and to build you in the stature of Christ to become a producer. The car is being built. Who is building the car? That is God. When you are in your mother's womb, because Psalm 139, when God is building your inward parts, when the body is formed in the womb of the mother, nobody sees it. A baby is being formed in the womb. Every part of you is being formed, being built inside the womb. When the car is being manufactured, nobody sees it. It is kept secret. They're building it on the inside. Let me continue. After they build the car, you can see now they begin to paint it. When they paint the car, now they begin to furnish inside. There's no emptiness. The different parts are being assembled. David said, I'm wonderfully made. I was knit in my mother's womb. God, take your spirit, your soul, and your body and knit them together, invisible part and visible part, to make you at the image and likeness of God in spirit, not just in the body, but in spirit. These are different parts that God is producing in you when he made you in the secret place. Now, once the car is done and assembled, you're going to just drop it in the market. You can see some technicians of quality are here to inspect the car. They are looking at the different parts of the car to see whether it meets the standard. The data that were registered in the plan, as a true? Is this car fit and respect the qualification in which it is built? They will check it. They will test the car before they send it to the market. After we have done everything that is humanly possible, God needs to mark the work. He inspected to check it. Now, when we come to Jesus, we listen to the word of God. We allow ourselves to be molded, to be melted, to be molded, to fit the character of Jesus, to build righteousness in us. God will watch you. God will watch me before he says, this is the right product. There's a seal we call the seal of righteousness, the seal of the Holy Ghost. Who gives the Holy Spirit? No man can give you that. Only God, because the product is from heaven. The product of eternal life is from heaven. The kingdom of God is from heaven. Righteousness is from heaven. Everlasting life is from heaven. We believe in life after life. Our life is not restricted on the outside, on the earth. We believe in eternal life. We believe there's life after death on earth. We believe. God will check you. We check your faith. We look at you before he sends a seal. Before they put their logo in this car and send it to the market, they want to be sure they're sending the right product. Before Jesus sent the disciples at Pentecost, they have to be disciples under him. For 3 years, began to melt them, to teach them, to correct them, to change them, to prepare them for what is to come. That's the meaning of discipleship. He prepared them, and they were willing to follow him. They were willing to embrace his way. They were willing to be taught, willing to be corrected, willing to be prepared for what is to come. When Jesus looked at the day of Pentecost, the Lord looked at them from above. When he saw the product was gone, now he had his logo, his seal. Every car manufacturer has a seal. When you see this seal, I know this car. You identify this car with the manufacturer and the quality. And in the market, you say, I want this one, because I know this one is good. When you hear people talking, they say, this Jesus, this is the Son of God. This is the truth. I want this. Those whose eyes are open to see the seal of the kingdom of God will recognize that this is true. The seal is Holy Spirit. But who can see the seal? Some seals are visible, some are invisible. But the seal God put is not on the outside. It's on the inside you find the seal. When you drive your car, when you look at the steering wheel, every manufacturer put the seal in the steering wheel. Some put it in the bonnet, but the seal is inside. But the seal of God is not visible. It is inside. That is why God looks at the human heart. That's where God put his seal. That's where God put the Holy Ghost. That's where the seal of righteousness is. The seal of a genuine Christian is the Holy Spirit in your heart. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says, he who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to Jesus. The seal of authentic authorization, that this is a true believer, a true child of God, a citizen of heaven, is the seal of the kingdom of God, the seal of the Holy Ghost, but God apply in your heart forever. Nobody can remove it. John chapter 14, 16, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father, he will give another comforter, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because he neither sees him nor knows him. If you see the seal, if you see the kingdom, God, open your eyes, you will see the product. I want this. I want Holy Ghost. I want Jesus. When you receive it, you become like Jesus, a citizen of heaven, a life-giving spirit. That is the promise of God. That is why at the day of judgment in heaven, Jesus Christ is appointed by God, the judge of the living and of the dead. Everybody will appear to the judgment seat of Christ in heaven, what the Bible says, and he will look at our heart. Now we know why God looks in our heart, to look for the seal. You see, we have our seal here, UOG seal. This is the seal. And we have explained to everybody that seal before. Let me go there straight. We put this seal. The first time God gave us this vision and the word came, we said, what is the seal? In the university, we learn how to apply the word of God in our lives. It's no longer theory, we learn the practical side. We know what it takes when we go to primary school, secondary school, to university, some go to PhD, start doing research. In the practical side, go to laboratory, to exercise, to demonstrate the theory they have, and to do research. That's how we increase in science, in medical, in all areas. We practically put into practice from the laboratory, from conception to reality. Now, what does this mean in the kingdom of God? This seal mean, since the beginning was the word of God. God started everything with his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word with God. God created everything with the word. He does nothing without this word. When this word came, it was given to a special man called prophets. And they wrote in a book. This is the Holy Bible we're talking about. The written word. Written on tablets of stones. Written on books. On parchment. On scrolls. But this word is just a seed. What God wants, this word to become effective. For us to put it into practice and to become producers, this word must enter your heart here. The word that enters your heart is different from this one. This one is spirit and life. When the letter enters your word, it becomes spirit. That's the word that the Holy Ghost will affect and become the sword you see behind. So we have the letter and we have the ministry of the spirit. When the word enters your heart, become the sword of the spirit, that's the word you apply. When Peter came at Pentecost, he began to apply this word and spoke words of life. We saw what happened. People's heart were cut like a sword. People hear the word, believe the word, and were saved. When Peter came to the house of Cornelius, began to speak words of life. their heart was seized, and everybody who heard the word, Holy Ghost came, and they received the seal of God in their lives. That's what Jesus gives you, the parable of the sower. He wants to teach you how to plant the seed of life in the hearts of people, the seed of righteousness. Now everybody who's a producer must have a seal. Let me go back here. Once this car is produced properly and they're happy, you're going to ask yourself, does this car really meet the requirement of quality, the technical specification required, so we not put people's life in danger and fulfill the purpose for which it is created? What do? They do what we call a crash test. This is a crash test. They will throw the car into something to see how the car is damaged. In this car, you can see he hit an obstacle. You can see how the bonnet is transformed to absorb the shock. You can see the airbag, how the people inside are kept safe in case of accident. You test your car to know his limit, his quality, before you put him in the market. God does the same for us. When he called the apostle, he prepared them, but they had to put them to the test of faith. Let me show you the test of faith we are talking about. Just watch your screen and let's see. You see, the tree is exposed to the storm, to the wind. This is the crash test. God will allow. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, if the house is built on the rock, the wind will come. It will hit it. It will come on the tree. It will shake it. He will move it, but the tree remains steady. Rooted in the ground. Never break. Once the tree is strong, he faced the storms of life. The test of faith. We saw at the day of Pentecost, when the tests and trials came, Peter stood on the rock of the word and began to speak the word of God. The seal that shows the fitness of God in your life is the Holy Spirit. There is strength needed to be renewed by the power of the Holy Ghost to be anchored in Christ. No matter what happens on the outside, their seed remained, their faith remained, and they paid the supreme price for what they believed. And today, we receive this gospel because this man of credibility, they stood for what they believed and spread the gospel to the four corners of the earth. The word stands forever. If you are a believer, if you are a Christian, you are called to stay rooted in Christ, and your seed will remain. No matter what comes, no matter what happens, the fruit of God's goodness will be manifested in your life. The apostle of all, you will not fight any human being. You will not insult any human being. You will not fight any human being because God has given you to give life to people. What is life? Mercy, favor, forgiveness, healing. All the gift of the Holy Ghost is to build life, not to destroy. That's what Jesus said. We should never confuse these two. John chapter 10, verse 10. That he has come to give life to people, abundant life. He never came to judge or condemn anyone. Go and read John chapter 1. He came to save. By the fruit, you will know them. By the fruit, we know the quality of a well by the water you drink. We know the quality of a tree by its fruit. Jesus' message is absolutely challenging to us. The fruit he asks us to do is a heavenly fruit. He says, love your enemy. Flesh cannot do that. Pray for those who persecute you. Flesh cannot do that. Bless, do not curse. Flesh cannot do that. Forgive, flesh cannot do that. But that's what Jesus wants. That's the standard of God. So the Bible is all about the righteousness of God. When it says righteousness, we are talking about the ways of God. What are the ways? The way is narrow. Why is it narrow? That's the way of faith. To receive this seal is by faith in the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. That's why the Bible says we preach repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When you believe in him, the gift of righteousness by faith, when you receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you and begin to manifest his way, manifest his fruit, manifest his love. You begin to see that there is more to life than meets the ordinary eyes. You will begin to see there are two dimensions to life, natural and spiritual. Then you begin to see things the way God sees it. Then the natural and the spiritual will come together as one, will operate as one. You become complete. You have responsibility in the natural. You have responsibility in the spiritual. You and God, you become one by His Spirit. And you live a life that is fulfilled with an awareness of God, with the awareness of life. The word that comes from your mouth will build people up, not destroy anybody. The words that come from your mouth will give faith, hope, and the fruit of the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, at the last day, you will know them by their fruit. I was naked, you clothed me. I was alone, you visited me. This is the year of growth in the things of the Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit. You want righteousness. You want to follow God. You want to do what is right in the sight of God. You want to be a blessing to human being, blessing to your neighbor, even blessing to those who don't share the same faith. That is the work of Holy Ghost. That is not your work. Go and see the work of Peter. What is the purpose of this gospel? For those who do not know Jesus, let them come to conviction there is something, the meaning of life. When we are in a generation without faith, without hope, everybody who reads this Bible, whether you're a believer or not, and you read about Jesus, the way he lived, there's no human being who rejects Jesus by him. He never rejected anybody. He preached love, humility in action. Even when he was arrested, humility was there. At the cross, humility was there. Forgive them, they do not know what they are doing. The question is now, what is true? What is not true? Who is a true Christian? Who is not a true Christian? Who is a true believer? Who is not a true believer? Who is a true person of God? Who is not a true person? To know that there is a seal. And the seal, who can see it? Only God. You have to pray for God to reveal you the seal. When you are led by the Holy Ghost, you will know. When you are saved, you will know. If you have the seal, you will know. Because he promised to be with you. The question is, we have the seal. But that's not enough to have the seal. We have to grow. When a baby is there, he has to grow. A baby cannot come from the womb and begin to speak. The baby begins to grow. His faculty begin to enhance, to grow. He begins to talk. He begins to walk. He begins to communicate with people. That's what God wants us to be today. There is a step to be melted, to be molded, to be filled, and to be like Jesus. That is the seal of God in our life today. This is the year of growth. I want you to understand something. We just believe the Holy Ghost is about power to heal. No. The purpose of Holy Ghost is to make you a producer of life, to give you a godly character, to receive the love of Christ, and to express the love of Christ around you. You don't need to tell anybody, I'm a Christian. Let the goodness of Christ in you be seen. His humility, his grace be seen in you. Your actions speak louder than words. Allow the Spirit of God to manifest, to express himself through you with the love of Christ. And you will see that the kingdom of God is real. God is real. Salvation is real. His promises are real. And you walk into eternal life in the name of Jesus. That is the purpose of this gospel. Without the Holy Spirit, no practical side. Without the Holy Ghost, no growth. Without him, no knowledge of God. The greatest promise the Bible gives us here, God gave us his son Jesus. And Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit, the gift of righteousness. Once you have this one, you continue to meditate and let the mystery of God in your life begin to develop. Awareness will come to see the other side. Awareness will come to perceive the thoughts of God, the reality of God in your life in the name of Jesus. Please read your Bible. Develop your relationship with the Holy Ghost. Allow him to make you a producer of life. Don't just read the Bible because of need. Read it because your life depends on it. Read it because you want to apply the word in your life. Allow the Spirit of God to use God's word to build you, to lead you, to guide you, and make you in turn a producer, a testimony of the life of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.